Thank you, Heavenly Father. Glory to God. You may be seated just for a few moments. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. David asked a question, and it's a rhetorical question as far as David is concerned, because he's going to answer the question. And every Christian, if you know Christ as your Savior, the blood of Jesus should have a place in your life that no one and nothing else should have. You gave an applause because we have a happy, holy marriage that God has kept together for almost 50 years. And we're so grateful for that. It is a triumph, particularly in these days, not only to have a marriage last, but to find a love that lasts that long. Because we're not just married because of a document. We're not just married because, we're Christian and God says don't leave each other. We're still married because we do love one another. Amen. Still love one another. And for a while, people didn't like the part of the traditional vows that say, I'll take you for, in sickness and in health. But when you're sick and somebody's there that loves you enough to love you, and in poverty and in wealth, amen, we're afraid we're going to confess to be poor if we use the word poverty and in wealth. But I'm glad that Pamela didn't marry me for my wealth, because if she did, it wouldn't have lasted 5 days, let alone 50 years. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know somebody loves you for you, that knows you like no one else knows you and loves you anyway and wants to stay with you? And that's one of the great blessings. Listen, David said, what shall I render unto God in one of his psalms for all of his benefits to me, all of his blessings to me? And then he answered that. It's rhetorical. He answers it in Psalm 103 because he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and how much of what's inside of me? All that's within me. Now, one of the things, you're in a Pentecostal church today, so you expect people to shout or holler or do something extraordinary that don't happen in other congregations necessarily. Although that church right there looked like they were getting shouting happy as they sang the praises of God today. Amen. This is Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas, that you've been worshiping with today. And as Pentecostals, we could get a lesson in how to praise God. How can you say amen? Because they don't hold nothing back. And they welcome those with the Pentecostal perspective and experience, because they welcome James McDonald, who is Pentecostal, to come and hold meetings for them. So they understand the place and power of the Holy Spirit. And while there are doctrinal issues that we would disagree upon, there's one great doctrinal issue that we cannot disagree on, and we do not, and that is that there is a way to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ, through his cross. Praise God. Amen. And that is a transcendent truth in Scripture from all the other teachings. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God wants to save the lost, and he wants to bring them to salvation. I look out on congregations of people, and there are people that are obviously absent, that have lost something so precious in the Christian heart, and that is the gratitude and the thanks for what Christ has done for them. Amen. When the first love dies, the gratitude is gone. And we're living in a generation where gratitude is not something you find in a lot of circumstances of life. There's not the gratitude for parents' hard work, that sacrifice of children. The Bible said men would become in the last days, in the perilous time, they would become truce breakers, unholy, unthankful. And right after being unthankful, it talks about being disobedient to parents. Isn't it amazing? You lose your gratitude, you lose your respect, your honor, your reverence, and you become disobedient. Well, it happens the same way in Christians. It's not just children that get that attitude. Christians can get that attitude of ingratitude. And the first sign that you're losing gratitude is when you become no longer want to be a true disciple of Jesus. You just become a Sunday morning church-going person. And then you know what? After a while, without gratitude, you even lose the desire to be in church on Sunday morning. And when you lose that, you've lost something so precious. Because it's not about just coming here for the sake of of a number count, a head count, or just to do the Sunday morning thing. It's coming here to worship the Lord that has done so much for us when he hung on that cross. I want to be somewhere giving God honor, giving him. I want to be with other Christians who love him. I frankly don't want to be in a church where there's a bunch of people really don't care much about Jesus. I don't care how pretty it is. I don't care how many people attend. Amen. It doesn't matter how great the choir sings or the preacher preaches. If I'm in a church with a bunch of people really don't care much about Jesus, I really don't care about being there because I love the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to be in a marriage where my wife don't care much about me. Amen. I want her to love me. Praise God. Amen. If I go to heaven before her, I expect her to wail and howl and cry. I'm serious. It's supposed to hurt when you lose somebody you love. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, I don't want her to stay that way. We're not like others who have no hope, but I want her to feel something without me. Praise God. Amen. I love my wife. She loves me. We should love the Lord. When people love him, and I've been trying for years, Dale, to get people to rekindle the first love, and I found out that there's a lot of people that cannot possibly have the first love rekindled because they have never encountered Christ to have it kindled in the first place. And that's why it is so easy to fall away. It wouldn't be easy for me to walk away from her. I couldn't bear to. It's not an option, praise God. Amen. Love binds me to her. And love binds us to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. A true disciple of Jesus isn't looking for a way to not follow him. We're looking how to follow him more closely, more diligently, more devotedly. If a man loved me, you know what the Bible teaches? In the epistles, I'm glad when I first got saved, I heard that term epistles, and I thought the epistle of John, I thought the epistles at first were the wives of the apostles. So I had to learn a lot. But it's these other letters that are not part of the Gospels, these little letters called the epistles and the epistle of John. Amen. It said, if a man love me, speaking of Jesus, he will keep my commandments. Listen, they won't be grievous unto him. Amen. Amen. Have you ever seen Christians that look like they've been sucking persimmons or baptized in pickle juice, dill pickle juice? Can you say amen? Baptized in vinegar? You can find them. They're all over the place. Amen. People with long faces trying to represent a kingdom that's filled with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I look at a big congregation with a big church and I don't envy it as far as I wish we could reach as many people as we can. But when they pan a congregation of joyless people sitting out there that look kind of bored with it all, it doesn't matter all the other stuff that's going on. When all those bored looking people are sitting out there with other bored looking people so they don't feel convicted about being bored Christians. Can you say that? Hallelujah. I'm glad I got you guys. Well, at least most of you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad to be here. I'd rather be in a little church with joy and something that would just bless the Lord so that he could bless us. So David said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits unto me? And then that rhetorical question, he answers that very question in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You've got more in you than you probably give God on Sunday morning.
That's right.
Because if you won the lotto, I'm not telling you to play the lotto, but if you won it, good way to repent over gambling is to tithe it. Everybody that's coming down hard on the lotto players would be so happy to accept the tithe. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, I'm not encouraging one or the other. I'm just saying if someone deposited $1 million in your account and you try to be as non... Yeah, go ahead. Shout hallelujahs. Sandra got a bumper sticker that says, if you don't think it'd make you happy, you don't know where to shop. Can you say amen? Listen. Joy in the Holy Ghost. The Bible said we joy in God. If you were materially blessed, listen, anybody ever watch the old television show, Let's Make a Deal? Monty Hall was the guy. They had these curtains and big old boxes, and you're kind of vicariously playing that game with them because, you know, we all, you know, you want what's behind the curtain, or you want what's in door number three, or you want what's in that big old box. And boy, people are looking at that, and they take the curtain, they open it up, and it's a donkey in a cart, old donkey cart or something. And you're going, oh, man. But they open. I should have took the box. Well, let's see what's in the box. And they open the box, and there's a brand new Maytag washer and dryer in there. Yeah. Wow, it's gleaming. It's beautiful. Hallelujah. And you know what they do? Woo! Yeah. Over a Maytag washer and dryer. Woo! And nobody thinks they're over emotional. If you were there, you would probably go back in the day when it was just when you were going to the laundromat and there's a brand new washer and dryer. Woo! And then they go up and grab a complete stranger around the neck and give him sugar. He got more sugar over washer and dryers than most people get in their marriage in a lifetime. Can you say amen? And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bucks are doing better. The Buccaneers, it's football season. They're doing better. The other day they pulled out a win right down at the wire. Wow. Yeah, don't get your hopes too high, Penny. I know.
Didn't nobody see it?
Yeah, they blanked it out. It was good. I heard it over the radio or something anywhere or some flashback thing. Anyway, it was good. And there was a, it was requisite. I mean, if you are a fan and your team pulls that out and you're a fan, nobody thinks you're crazy for saying, "Wow!" Boy, you do that in church, you're a fanatic. Yeah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And that's where we get the shortened form of fanatic from. Fan. There's nothing wrong with being a football fanatic. A baseball fanatic. A yard sale fanatic. Yeah. Remember Margaret used to attend with us now? What's her last name now? Janung, I keep forgetting that. Margaret Janung, she's a yard sale fanatic. Everybody else sleeping in on Saturday, she's up at the break of dawn, putting that coffee on. Amen. She's going to go. She'd go up to doors before the people got up that were going to announce the yard sale and knock on the door, trying to wake them up, tell them, "Let me at it. Open your garage. You said you're going to have a sale." She was bold because she was a fanatic. We got a fishing fan sitting here. Fishing fanatic. The man loves to fish. Praise God. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. But he probably don't have to set his clock when he's going to the lake. Because, see, that's what I'm telling you. His eyes pop open. I had to set two clocks to go to work because I wasn't a fanatic about that. Can you say? I'd put one by the bed and one under the bed. Honestly, because the one by the bed, I'd just reach over and grab that sucker, turn it off first thing. You know, snooze control, forget about that. I don't want 10 minutes. I don't want to hear nothing. I just reach over and subconsciously turn that first one off. But the one under the bed would go off, and I'd have to get out of the bed to go under the bed to turn it off, and that would wake me up and say, "You got to go to work, boy." I was not a fan of going to work, but he's a fan of going fishing. And boom, clock goes off. Inside, there's an inner clock, amen, somewhere. And Terry don't get a lot of sleep, so he's always in a deep sleep. And he was in a deep sleep, but somewhere on the inside, I'm going to go fishing. That clock goes off. His eyes pop open. He looks at the other clock. There's 15 minutes to go. He could sleep, but he's up out of bed. He's getting his clothes on. He's headed for the lake. Amen. Sometimes he drags his dear wife with him. Amen. Amen. Bless your heart. Amen. She don't love to fish that much, but she loves Terry, so she goes with him. Amen. God is so good. It's all right to be a fan. My son was a fan of cartoons. He was a cartoon fanatic back in the day when just a cartoon. Yeah, he's still a cartoon fanatic. Yeah, I thought I heard his phone go off the other day, and it went da 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 da. Amen. Da 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 da. I used to, Saturday morning, I could sleep in. But guess what? 7 a.m., I hear the television click on, and I hear that da 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 da, and I get up all bleary-eyed, and there's my son in front of the TV. He's up. He's ready for breakfast. He's ready for anything. And you know, I'm thinking Friday morning, I had to go in and literally uncover him, shake him, and after a while, I grab him by the, you know, threaten him. A school morning, you know, and I had to grab him by the ankles and pull him over to the edge of the bed and then stand him up and say, you got to get up, you got to get dressed, you got to go to school. She threw ice water on you. Okay, that. Throw ice water on him, say, get your butt out of bed. That would have worked. I wish I'd have met you, you know, 40 years ago. Yeah, literally 40 years ago when he was 10 years old. But cartoon morning was all together. And I would ask him, what are you doing up so early? And he's looking at me like I don't know anything. He says, Dad, it's cartoon day. If you're a fan, you get up, you get excited, your juices get flowing. Amen. So David says, you know something? Oh, by the way, let's get back to this, you know, the big deal. Someone deposits $1 million in your bank account. I don't care if you won it or they just gave it to you. But somehow you come into $1 million. See, I work for Tampa Electric. And we had some events happen that no one knew but the line crew, because there was some safety violation probably allowed it to happen. And we really didn't want a safety investigation. So we just, as long as nobody was dead or maimed, we tried to keep it under our hat. So anyway, two of these guys, I was a groundman truck driver for Tico for about 6 years, and they went up the pole, and they were working some hot lines up there, and they covered up real good. But they got a little bit in a hurry that you don't want to do around those 7,620-volt lines. That's your lowest transfer line. They go from that to 69,000 volt, and then from that to 130,000 volt. They graduate up and or down, is depending on you look at it. Anyway, they got those bucket trucks moving too fast. The bucket was moving too fast, and they pushed one live line into another live line. And when they did, there was this huge sound that I can't really aptly describe, and this huge flash of electrical flash, and they dropped down in their buckets. They dropped down in their buckets. When they came down later, we saw that both their eyebrows from the flash was singed. You could smell. You know how hair smells when it's burned? Well, they smell like that. Anything out from under the hat was singed. The eyebrows were singed. They didn't have burns on their faces. They didn't get in the middle of that electrical flash. Fortunately, no one was hurt. Could have been fatal. Could have been awful. But it wasn't. But when they came up out of those buckets after that flash, they were real white. They were real white people. They call us all white, but there's white, which is really brown. These guys was white. These was white boys, boy. When they come up out of there, they were ashen faced, and one of them was always joking. He looked over at the other guy in the bucket, and they were looking at each other like, Lord have mercy, what just happened? And he looked over. And we heard him because everybody was dead quiet, wondering if anybody was hurt. He looked up and he looked over at the other guy in the bucket and he said, try to be nonchalant. I mean, just act like nothing ever happened. Just act like no big deal. It was a big deal. Something did almost happen. Something did, in fact, happen. And you can't be nonchalant when something like that is taking place. What's incredible to me, that's what David is saying. He said, listen, if you're going to worship God for all that he's done, then worship him in a fashion that shows how much gratitude you have for all that he has done. You just can't be nonchalant. Can you say amen? You can't just go through religious ritual. That's why when David, the ark, came back to Israel that had been lost and captured by their enemies, but they brought the ark from Ornan's house back to Israel. Can you say amen? And when David saw that ark coming back, he knew something. When they prayed, God was going to answer. When that ark was in its place, God was going to send angels if necessary to defend Israel. God was going to keep them, provide for them, prosper them. And the Bible said that David, the king of Israel, danced before the Lord. Listen. With how much of his might? See, David didn't hold it back. We had an interpretation to a message. I'm here to receive your worship and praise. Don't hold back. And I don't mean just don't hold back your enthusiasm. Don't hold back your devotion. To show gratitude. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, what is the requisite response to Christ dying in our place on the cross, being tortured to death so we could be free from judgment to come? What is it? What is requisite? What should we give him back? What can we ever do? Paul said, another rhetorical question. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, look square at the cross. Look at Jesus in agony. Look at the one who had no sin becoming sin so our sins could be forgiven. Look at that man on that cross. The Bible said when we saw him prophetically in Isaiah 53, there was nothing that we should desire him. In other words, he was repulsive to look at. They had beat him in such a way, the prophecies concerning him fulfilled in that Roman scourging was this, that his visage, His features were marred more than any man's. It looked like someone that had been hit someone head on or hit a power pole head on and went through the windshield and tore them and ripped them and bloodied them. And they hit him with the smited fist. They hit him with the stick. They put the crown of thorns on his head. They beat him until any other person would have probably died, but angels ministered to him, not to help him not feel the pain, but help him to not die before the sin debt was paid. And then it took 6 hours hanging on the cross for death to come after the worst beating that a human could ever endure. And when they saw him, the Bible said there's nothing we should desire him. But we did consider him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He must have done some terrible sin. No, he knew no sin. And yet he took the punishment for sin, amen, so that man who had sin could be forgiven of sin. Can you say amen? I owe God big time for that. I owe Jesus big time for that. Hallelujah. So Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present willfully, devotedly, hallelujah, your body, that everything you are, everything you have, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. This is not religious fanaticism. This is the requisite response to love like this. It's loving him back. Not giving him our life. It's not just saying thank you. It's living a life of gratitude to the Lord. Amen. When people become unthankful, the Bible said they become disobedient to parents. We become disobedient to God. They become unholy. We become unholy. But as long as that gratitude is there, we can't wait to praise him. We want to serve him. We want to follow Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's a blessed life. Look at me. I've been following him for all of these years. Do I look like one of those persimmon sucking, pickle baptized, vinegar baptized Christians? Do I come over that way? No, I don't want to come over that way. Oh, this don't just happen at church. This happened when I was a bivocational preacher for 12 years working in production. They knew that I was a man of joy. They knew that the joy of the Lord was my strength. Yeah. Serving Jesus wasn't a job. It was a joy. Hallelujah. See, some of you hadn't figured it out yet. I done been where you are. One of the advantages of getting older is getting bolder. I go to the gym now. I don't compete and I don't compare. I thought getting in here was just a big accomplishment for me, just getting in the place. I haven't been, but they even called me the other day and said, we miss you at the Y. I thought, I didn't know you missed me. I didn't know you even knew I was there. But I got silver sneakers, they call it. That's when you're on Humana, when you're over 65, and they give you this free. They don't want you. Yeah, silver. Is it silver sneakers? Yeah, that's the name of silver. No, I don't have real silver sneakers. I'm just a little preacher. I'm not a televangelist. Anyway. Amen. They don't want you to miss because Humana is paying them for me to go so they don't have to pay my hospital bill. Amen. So that it's working, you know, so they want me to attend. And I need the encouragement to go. But I go differently now. And when I look at a crowd of people now, amen, I've been where you are. You know, I'm not, there's no intimidation, never was anyway much, but I've been where you are. I've been exactly where you are. Amen. Been there. Done that. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I've been serving Jesus long enough to know how sweet it is to serve the Lord. Amen. There's another side, and you can go the other way if you want to. You're a free moral agent, and God will not force you. But He's offering you a life that is far beyond anything that this world can give you. The world will promise you everything and leave you high and dry. Hallelujah. But God can keep His promises. He said the thief came to steal, and he came to kill, and he came to destroy. But I've come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. And people that are worldly minded only see stuff and material possessions and things. Oh, this is far beyond stuff and material possessions. Without what he's talking about, material possessions cannot fulfill you. Amen. It's called living water. Praise the Lord. And he said, if you drink of this water, you're not going to thirst anymore. Praise God. It's going to satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. Hallelujah. Amen. See, Jesus doesn't just sanctify. He's satisfied. And when you're satisfied, you don't go to the world looking for something that you already have in Christ. The Bible said we brought nothing into this world. How many can agree with that? And we are not going to take anything of the material out of this world. Never, never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul to the cemetery. We brought nothing in. You're taking nothing out, but something is going out. The man within the man, the woman within the woman is going to leave this world someday and going somewhere forever. What is eternal life that delivers you from eternal punishment and banishment? What is it worth? David says you've got to measure the worth, and then you've got to match the worth with your worship. Yeah. Whoa. What shall I render unto God? Measure the worth. For all his benefits unto me. Listen to this. Oh, it gets beautiful. He said, who forgives all of your iniquity. Love that Christian group, a cappella group called GLAD. He said, be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad for every sin that you ever had. Amen. Has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Be ye glad. Aren't you glad that your sins are not just forgiven, they're gone as if you had never sinned. You don't have a past before God anymore when you come to Christ as your Savior. As it is written, saith the Lord, amen. He said, I will cast their sins away from them. Disassociate you from all of your sin if you repent and come to Christ. As far as the east is from the west. Not the north from the south. Why not? Because there's a pole. If you go, you hit an area where it seems to stop. But east to west, it goes on perpetually, eternally. As far as the east is from the west, I will remove your sins from you. And their sins will I remember no more. Amen. What shall I render to God for doing that for me, David said, who forgives all of mine iniquity, oh, and heals all of my diseases. Can you say, man, I was dying at 8 years old of leukemia. The doctor that diagnosed me at first with anemia, the blood test after further test came back with leukemia. I'm 8 years old, and I'm laying on a couch after school until bedtime and just got the energy to go to class, come home, and lay back down on the couch. That's why they took me to the doctor. When he diagnosed leukemia, we had no insurance. We had very little resources at all. And so he said, keep him home. Feed him nutritious foods. Give him candy if he wants it, something to pick him up for a while. And when he gets into the, in other words, he's dying. There's nothing we can do about it. No bone marrow transplant, no St. Luke's Hospital, the old county hospital. I used to go by it on the way to church when we pastored over 25 years in that building in Tampa, now headed for our 40th year in January. Amen. I would go by that old county hospital, and I'd look over at it and think, that's where I was headed before my 9th birthday. Not to recover, that's where I was headed to die. So they could help me die and without any unnecessary discomfort. And when I would go by that, gratitude would come up in my heart. Lord, I want to thank you today. You let me live to marry. You let me live to have a family of my own. You let me live to receive this call to minister. You let me live to see others come to know Jesus Christ. You let me live. At the time, I thought I was getting up in years. I was around 40. You let me live to become 40 instead of die at 8 years old. Lord, you've been so good to me. He forgave all of my sins and healed all of your diseases. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He is a healer today. And David said, we're going to give him thanks for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church has changed, but Jesus is the same. Oh, what a wonderful thing to declare to you this morning. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and will be forever. Hallelujah. I'm here today, not just because he healed me of cancer, but because he raised me up from a stroke. Hallelujah. Last Sunday, I went to see my dad, went to pray for Mike's mother's, Mike's uncle in the same nursing home. And while we were in there, we met a young man. He looked 40, but he said he was 50. But he's slight built. He had, you know, good head of hair and jet black. And he just seemed youthful. And when I look over into a bed in a nursing home and I see someone youthful like that, I wonder, what in the world happened? Why are you here? Are you convalescing? And I asked him what happened. He said, I had a stroke. And he said, my right side is useless. My right leg, my right arm. And I said, how long have you been here? I thought he was convalescing. They were going to give him therapy and he'd get out. He said, I've been here for 3 years. 3 years and he's still dead on this side completely. And I thought, Lord, except for the grace of God, that could be me right there. I had the stroke. I hit the floor. My left side went dead. You've had these kind of physical issues. Oh, when I looked at him and I prayed for him and with him and gave the testimony of how when people begin to pray in concert, what God did for me. And God is no respecter of persons. Can you say, man, he didn't do it because I'm a preacher. He did it because he's the God that he is. He's a wonderful heavenly Father. And Jesus is a mighty Savior. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, they 3 days, Brother Taylor, concerted prayer was offered. And 3 days, God raised me up. Hallelujah. Again. Oh, yes, he did. Hallelujah. And God is so good to me. Amen. And this is the arm. And this is the leg. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to lift this leg to praise the Lord. And I'm going to use this foot to kick the devil. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is so good. And I'm able to share it with somebody that's about to give up hope. Don't give up hope. God is so good. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Don't forget his benefits. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all of my diseases. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Can you say amen? He delivers my soul from destruction. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And you probably got more than you're given. Because the way David looked at it, when I really measure his worth, then I have to match that with my worship. And that's why David said, I don't know what everybody else is going to do, but the ark is back. I am the king of Israel. There is protocol, dignity to be maintained, and decorum for a king. But right now, this is not about a political office that's the highest in the land. This is about God's restored blessings to our nation. Could you possibly see the blessing, a real revival hit America? And the President of the United States. God could, yeah, it is. We need to get this. You couldn't imagine Saul of Tarsus becoming an apostle of Christ either. But the unimaginable happened. Can you say amen? Because God is the God of the impossible. And the things that are not impossible with men are possible with God. If God, if there was a holy revival come to this nation, and it hit the White House and not just the church house. I know, there it is, it's impossible. That outfit up there, they need a good whooping. They don't need, no, they need revival. They don't know they need it, but they need it. You say, how do we pray for the president? Pray that the fear of God will come into that Oval Office and he will understand his responsibility exceeds that of his political party or his constituents. Amen. There's a God in heaven that holds him accountable. That he would bow his knees and pray to him for wisdom to direct this nation and not fear any man after he receives the fear of the Lord. I don't mean dread of God, but an understanding. But could you see the president come out and say something has happened in the White House? Could you see Joe Biden, old potty mouth Joe Biden? Could you see him saying, something has happened in here. Something has happened up in here. Can you say, man, hallelujah. Praise God. I saw Nancy Pelosi dancing before the Lord. Lord have mercy. Can you say, man? I heard Hillary speaking other tongues. Something has happened up in here. Can you say amen? I know everybody thinks I'm Looney Tune today. But I'm talking about a God who said if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land. The God that said nothing is impossible with me said I can do what you could never dream. Oh, hallelujah. Why can't he help us? Why can't he heal us? Why have we written off America? Why are we writing off the church? What happened to answered prayer? What happened to this God? Oh, Lord God, Jeremiah said. Oh, Lord God. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Your outstretched hand. There's nothing too hard for you. We need to take that limit off of him. In you and me is the very spirit that moved on the deep. The earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God hovered. The word used, brooded over, It's like a hen over her eggs protecting because she knows something is going to come forth if, and she's brooding over it. Moved in the Hebrew means to brood over. Holy Spirit says, I want to create. I want to show forth the glory and power, the majesty of this omnipotent God. I want to move. Holy Spirit's always wanted to move. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When he has to leave the temple, we see a wheel. Within a wheel, there's activity. There's movement. Can you say amen? Why seek you the living among the dead where there's no movement? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Can you say amen? Halabahosha. Amen. And the Bible said he is able to do abundantly above all that we think or ask according to the power that worketh in you. Can you say, man, I put my spirit in you. I've made you a kingdom of priests. If my people who have that authority, if my people who have that delegated authority, if my people pray. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and not just my favor. That means to find out what his will is. And to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And they turn from their wicked way. That means we get it right. I'll hear from heaven. I will heal your land. If you think God can't get a hold of hard-hearted people, look at Paul, who wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, laid down his life for the sake of the gospel. Can you say, man, he was on his way to persecute the church. And he met on the road to Damascus. He said, I saw a light shining brighter than the noonday sun. I fell from my beast onto the ground and said, Lord, Lord, who are you? Who are you? Who are you, Lord? He knew his master was there, but he wanted to be identified. Amen. He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Can you say amen? His heart melted before the King of Kings. Amen. This chief persecutor and prosecutor of the church became the greatest defender of the faith in all of the Bible and loved not his life even unto the death. God got a hold of Saul of Tarshish, proud, self-willed, amen, old religious spirit, Pharisee, Sadducee spirit on him. I mean, he was just all hypocritical and messed up. His testimony used to be, he said, if any man had a reason to boast, I more. He's getting ready to crow now. He's getting ready to crow like a rooster. I'm a Jew of the Jews. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised the eighth day according to the law. And while we're talking about the law, I was blameless. Can you say, man? Oh, my goodness. And he said, but now it's all changed. The things I once counted gain to me, I count them as but dung. Hallelujah, that I might know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If God can get inside that heart, and he did, God can change you. He can change me. He can change your flaky friends. Amen. And he changed me. Other people came to Christ. I didn't have to try to get it to happen. They saw what happened to me. They said, something happened to him. I worked for Winn-Dixie Warehouse in a freezer crew. At lunch, we didn't eat lunch. We went to ABC Liquor Store on Hillsborough Avenue. And we got us everything we needed to get through the night. And we got Benzedrine from the truck drivers. So we got the liquor to come down on. We got the Benzedrine to get up on, pull that piece count. 2 o'clock in the morning, I was so wired I couldn't go to sleep. Get off at 2 o'clock in the morning, went down near 22nd and Lake. There was a bar down there that closed about 2 in the morning, but the pool hall stayed open all night long. 2 o'clock in the morning, amen, I'm down there on Benzedrine at the pool hall at 22nd and Lake, and I'm going to tell you something. A white boy by himself don't need to be at 22nd and Lake in the back of a bar at 2 o'clock in the morning. fact is, a black man shouldn't even be there at 2 in the morning. but old Lightbread sure enough didn't need to be there, can you say, man? That's down in the projects. They'll jack your car and you too, can you say, man? But that's where I was, stupid, sin-bound, blind, man, raised in a Christian home. But I'm going to tell you something. God got a hold of me. God got my attention. God got my heart. God turned. I didn't get religion. I got saved.
Hallelujah.
Amen. There's a vast difference in just going to church and following Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Woo! You say, Brother Ben, boy, they're right. You're too loud. Ah, nobody ever says that at a football game. My wife and I used to be BC before Christ. We were into the wrestling thing. Gordon Soley, Bedlam has broken loose. I remember all those sayings of his. We used to go down to the Sportatorium, some guys I worked with, and they had this little place where they wrestled for television. But then they'd come to the National Guard Armory where they threw beer bottles at the ring. Now they throw paper cups. They threw beer bottles then. Non-deposit beer bottles at the ring. And you get hit in the head with a beer bottle just watching other people wrestle. What happened to you? I went to the wrestling match. Did they hit you? No, somebody hit me in the head with a beer bottle. Didn't care. Didn't care. We were into it. And when somebody pile drives somebody that was a bad guy, Dusty Rhodes, somebody, everybody would go, yay! And nobody turned around and said, you bunch of fanatics, hush. You're over-emotional. That's emotionalism. No, it wasn't. It was the requisite response when the bad guy got it. It happens in movies. It used to happen in movie theaters. The villain would finally get it, and he needed to get it. And when he got it, people would say, yeah! And nobody says, shh, I'm watching this movie. David said, if you fully appreciate what he's done, and you really measure accurately what it really means to you. If he's delivered you, saved you, forgiven you, restored you. The worship has to match the measure of the worth. If it don't match, you're measuring too short, or you're not given the requisite worship. That's why when the lame man who never had walked at the gate beautiful, what happened? Peter and John walked by, said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And taking him by his wrist and lifting him up, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And first place he headed was church. See, all the people out of church, they've been done a lot more than that. They were crippled with sin. Amen. Had the poison of that disease of sin and destruction within them. And God has set them free, but they've lost their gratitude. Can you say, man, they're going to hit that turkey and dressing, but they won't have nothing of what we're getting a taste of here this morning. Nothing on that table is going to taste like what we're leaving here with today. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. But what did he do? First place he headed was the temple where you worship, where the worship of God is taking place. And boy, you talk about somebody ready to worship now. He had all his life, he never had walked. So God did a double miracle. Not only did he heal him, but he gave him instant therapy. He never had walked. He didn't know how to walk. So even though he had the strength to walk, but God gave him the double doozy. Hallelujah. Amen. All at one time. Praise God. I know you've been to the mall and know what a double doozy is. It's one of them big peanut, one of them big cookies with all that cream in the middle. Anyway, praise God. He did got the, and he went into the temple. Here's how he went in, nonchalant. He went into the temple with all that was in him, giving praise. The praise had to match the measure of the blessing he had received. If you ain't never walked and now you're walking, you had no hope of walking, but now you're walking. He went into the temple running, leaping, and praising God. Hallelujah. Somebody drove a brand new Ford out in the parking lot and handed you the title. I don't know if you'd praise God or not. I don't know where you are. But I believe your running and leaping would occur. You're going to run to the phone to tell somebody. You're going to leap when you see it. It's called jumping for joy. Can you say amen? And if you don't deserve it. Because you don't know how to appreciate it. If you're going to be nonchalant, bring that sucker over to my house. Oh, brother, remember, you would leap for something material. I'm leaping for Jesus in the kingdom of God. I can leap for everything now. I can leap without it. I can certainly leap with it. Can you say amen? Oh, don't look at me so spiritual. You'd leap too. Don't need a car. Brand new one off the showroom. Hey, bring that old Ford over to my house. What is it? I'd rather push a Chevrolet than drive a Ford. Well, I have pushed both, and I just want one that drives. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Just give me something that keeps going down the road. I'll be a happy camper. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't miss this as we close. David said, "What shall I render to God for all his benefits unto me?" Rhetorical question. He answered it in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name and forget not all of his benefits, those incentives to bless him to that. Always take measure of what Jesus has done for you and match what you measure with the worship that you give. And the ultimate worship is not just how fast you run, how high you leap. It's when you walk out that door how you live your life. The ultimate requisite response. The Bible said, listen, you are purchased with a price. Measure the price of purchasing you for God. You were purchased with a price. Redeemed, ransomed is what it means. And you are not your own. So offer your body. Because that price has been paid, give yourself away to God. That's the requisite response to this kind of mercy, this degree of grace. I beseech you by the mercies of God, measure what he did on the cross and offer freely, gladly, your body, all that you are and all that you have, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, your reasonable response. Can you say amen? There's nothing unreasonable about selling out to Jesus and truly following him. Amen. I usually give her a towel to wipe with, but God is so good. And he's looking for somebody that will appreciate it enough to give him our everything. Get off the fence if you're on it. Get on the fence so you can get off the fence if you've never met him. But make a decision to serve the Lord more than the leftovers. Leftovers are good for about 2 days after Thanksgiving. Yeah. On the third day, I would be cautioned. Even if you're stocked up on Alka-Seltzer, on the fifth day, just don't do it. God has had enough of the leftovers of lives. He wants the first fruits now. He has always wanted the first fruits. And I believe the true church is going to rise up and give him our best, not our leftovers. And I believe that he's going to bless us because of that gratitude in a way that we have never experienced or could never earn any other way but to show him gratitude. Whoso offereth praise out of a grateful heart glorifieth me. And to him that orders his conversation aright, he said, I'll show him the salvation of my God. He'll see his delivering power in his life. because he's grateful to him. He gives thanks in all things. He loves him. He lives for him. He said he's going to see my deliverance. I just saw it. I just saw it. I just saw it. Instead of asking God, why is this happening to me? When it happened to me, I said, Lord, I thank you so much that if I draw my last breath, it's okay. If it's your decision, if it's devil trying to kill me, then of course you're going to defend me. But if you're calling me home, that's okay.
Amen.
That has worth to me. It's worth more than your applause. It's worth more than your giving. It's worth more than whether you like me or don't like me when you leave this building. This is not about whether you like me or not. It's about he who loved me enough to die for me. And there's a lot of people don't like me. Oh, don't look at so sad for me. There's a lot of people don't like you. I hate to bust your bubble. Can you say, man, there's people who didn't like Jesus Christ. Amen. They wanted him on a cross and they wanted to kill him. Don't let them keep you from thanking him, because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Now let's review real quick. What shall I offer to God for all of his benefits unto me? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name and forget not all of his benefits. And make sure then that the praise and the worship matches the measure of the worth. And that's what God is looking for in his church, for his people to rise up and say, I'm going to serve the Lord with gladness of heart. I'm going to thank the Lord with everything that's in me. I'm going to live for God full out. He's not going to get the leftovers anymore. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we do have a president today, and I know there's groans there because everybody don't like anybody. But anyway, if the president of the United States wanted to hear your political opinions, grassroots, want to find out what the people in the trenches are thinking. And he arranged secretly through the Secret Service to come to your house for the evening meal to discuss your political view. Anything left in that fridge in there? Anything in the ice box? Yeah, we got some leftover fish, some old grits from breakfast. Guess we could whip something up. Leftover fish from 2 days ago and some grits from breakfast are now hard as a rock. Would you serve that up to the president? Oh. Good answer. He said, if it's all I had. But see, point is, you got more than that. That may be what you're giving, but you got more than that. He said, giving that old fish and them grits from breakfast. You gotta eat what you eat, don't it? That woman gonna whoop you when you get home. I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna pray for you. God give him grace and mercy to help in the time of need, because he gonna need it when he get to the house. Can you say? I know that woman can cook. She cooked for us, so she sent it home. Praise God. I had to let my belt out a whole notch. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, we would give our best to honor, in honor, to honor, to show honor. And that's what God is asking for from you and me. Give your best to honor your King. And give it not just because he demands it or even deserves it, but because you are so grateful for the blessings that he has just lavished upon your life. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for being tortured before you got to the cross. Thank you for staying on the cross, because he could have called 10,000 angels, destroyed this world and everybody in it, but he hung there until it was accomplished so that we could be free. That's got to be measured properly in the Christian heart and responded to with a wholehearted commitment. Offer your body a living sacrifice. This is your reasonable service. How many know that's not fanaticism? That's not going overboard. That's just how the normal Christian response should be to Calvary. And when we get that back, we're going to see revival. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We're getting ready to close, but let's just close with this. In his sermon on Psalm 103, a preacher by the name of Clovis Chappell said that on the west coast of England, there's a grave of a man who was much loved by all who knew him. When he died, these words were inscribed on his headstone. And I'm going to quote them. "Here lies a man who was satisfied with Jesus." What a epitaph. Here lies a man who was satisfied with Jesus. Chappell then adds this benediction. If that can be said of us, we have sufficient to make all of time and eternity one great Thanksgiving day. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a wonderful, holy God that we serve today. Will you stand to your feet? We're going to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, and that you will not let it start on Thursday, on whatever day it is. Is it Thursday?
Thursday,
and not let it end on Friday. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There is about to be a ground invasion, and it will not only involve the Palestinian Hamas, but it will. There will be civilian casualties, and it will cause the world once again to look to that little piece of land, and it will cause many of the nations in that area to be more committed to the destruction. So the politics of Israel I do not always agree with, nor the politics of America, but I do understand these are people of the covenant. And we are charged to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So pray for all of those people. Rockets are being fired into the cities now from Hamas. And that's what has brought this military response. And it's escalating. You can see a cauldron beginning to boil in the Middle East. And things are falling into prophetic time zones. And friend, I want you to know the coming of Christ is so very, very near. Amen. So pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I pray that this Thanksgiving day, that you will begin to measure what the Lord has done for you through Jesus Christ. And what is the requisite response for a love like that? A sacrifice this great. A suffering servant that would do what he did so we could be free. Amen. Jesus, we thank you. Will you just say it with me? Jesus, we thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Let's give him praise in this song in closing. Are you glad you came today in a pre-Thanksgiving service? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You believe there's room to give him any more of your time, your talent, your life, your love, your devotion? Is there anyone in this room doesn't know Christ as your Savior? And you're here today and you're hearing us talk about this great God and what He has done. And you don't want to miss the gift of forgiveness, the gift of salvation. Today, you'd like to come to Christ as your personal Savior. Would you just lift your hand? He's here to receive you, to forgive you, to be your Savior and your friend. Anyone in this room? Anyone in this room? There's time during this song. You're free to come if God is calling you. We invite you to Jesus today. Anyone that's fallen away from the Lord and you want to come home to your Father's house. Hallelujah. All right, let's worship Him. Let's worship Him before we leave. Let's worship Him before we leave. Don Moen follows us on Twitter and I follow him. Hallelujah. And we both follow Jesus. Hallelujah. With a grateful heart, with a song.